presence, Lord, when I feel so alone. You know each trial and testing pain, the hurt that is unknown. Oh, why can I not see your hand so firmly guiding me? Oh, how can I untrusting be when you are very near to me? When God is near, all the world seems far away. When God is near, set aside. When God is near, how can I stray? How can I falter? I'll stay upon the altar. I know my God is near. I know.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Bierman. What a great blessing that was. Let's take the Word of God this morning, and we will go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I want you to have your Bibles ready today, because we're going to go on a little journey through the Word of God, and I'm asking God to work in our hearts today. Obviously, this week, as we come up on the week of Thanksgiving, that we discuss and we talk about Thanksgiving. In fact, I would like to take the next few weeks, at least today and next Sunday, to deal with the subject of our gratitude to the Lord. Now, I think all of us would understand something today, that gratitude and thanksgiving are not natural. How many have ever watched a little kid, maybe, and the kid is given something and the parent has to almost threaten them to say thank you? How many have ever seen that happen before? We all have we not? I remember numerous occasions that people would give our children a piece of candy or something like it would be, and I would stand there and look at them, and I would think, if you don't say thank you, you're not going to be happy later on, right? You know how that goes. And so thanksgiving is something that is not natural. Let me put it to you this way. True gratitude is something supernatural. You say, well, preacher, how can we truly be grateful people? Well, this morning, I want to preach to you on this message, the reasons we are not grateful. Why are we not grateful? And it's kind of sad that we almost take just a season like the Thanksgiving season to deal with the subject of thanksgiving and gratitude to God. But I want to back up just a little bit, and I want to begin kind of this series with this thought. The reasons we are not grateful. Why are we not grateful? You see, gratitude is not just, hey, you need to be more thankful, all right? And I could preach a message like that. I could preach a message on why we should be grateful, and I think all of us understand that. But why are we not grateful? The story is told back in December of 1914, more than 100 years ago. You know the name Thomas Edison. Thomas Edison was probably one of the greatest inventors and scientists that has ever lived. But December of 1914, something happened on one night. A fire broke out in the laboratory of Thomas Edison, and in one night, he lost everything. In fact, it is estimated that back in 1914 that Thomas Edison lost $2 million worth of equipment. Now, that's a lot of money today, but it was really a lot of money back in 1914. Now, you say, why tell us this story? Well, the scene takes place when the fire had broke out And it was out of control. There was no way that they were going to be able to contain this fire. All of a sudden, Thomas Edison's youngest son, Charles, began to run frantically looking for his father. And there was his dad. His dad was standing there. The glow of the fire was upon his face. And his son Charles wrote in a book, he said, "It was really hard. My heart ached for my dad. He was no longer young, and everything he was doing was being destroyed." And then Charles said that his dad spotted him and said, "Hey, boy, go find your mama. Go tell her she better get over here and watch this and see this, because she'll never see anything like this the rest of her life." He was not discouraged. He was not depressed. He was not despondent. And in fact, as he was standing there with his little boy, he said, "Charles, let me tell you something." He said, "Boy, there's great value in disaster, because tonight all of my mistakes are burned up. Thank God that we can start all over again." Now, I'm just going to tell you something about that story that I found. I can say this. I don't know that I would be like Thomas Edison that night. I do not think that there would be hope, that there would be a sense of almost a cheerfulness and gratitude that he said, "All of my mistakes have been burned up tonight. Thank God that we can start all over again." You know what Thomas Edison displayed? He displayed something that was not natural. In fact, what a great perspective to have on life, that we can be thankful, and even during a time of tragedy and almost an impossible situation, that we can be grateful to God even in the midst of that. So tonight, this morning, I want us to deal with this subject, the reasons we are not grateful. Now let's begin in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 57. Now I think you know this verse. It's a very important verse. But let's look what the Bible says. And I want you to underline a couple of words in this verse. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 57. The Bible says, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Would you do something in verse 57? Would you underline or circle the word "thanks"? And then would you circle or underline the word "victory"? And if in your habit of doing this in your Bible, maybe draw a line connecting the word "thanks" and the word "victory." Now let's go not to 1 Corinthians, but let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. Just maybe turn the page or two and come to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and let's begin in verse number 14. I want to show you something in the Bible that is so important about our gratitude, about our thanksgiving. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place." Would you do once again? Would you take the word "thanks" and would you underline it or circle it? And then would you underline or circle the word "triumph" and connect them? Here's the emphasis this morning. I propose to you today that your victory in your Christian life, the triumph in your Christian life, is always connected to our thanksgiving and our gratitude to God. All throughout the Bible, when I find victory and when I find triumph, can I tell you what I find? I find thanksgiving. And by the way, I think that every one of us know this morning. If you find a Christian, if you study the life of the Christians of the past, or great preachers or missionaries or evangelists of the past, let me tell you what you will find. You will find that ones that are victorious are always ones that are overflowing with gratitude. That's what you will find. You see, God in His Word connects our victory, connects our triumph to our thanksgiving. And therefore, I propose to you today that often the reason we do not have victory in our Christian life is because we are not grateful Christians. You see, the Bible speaks strongly to the Christian about the importance of a grateful spirit. In fact, did you know that the word thanks and its various forms of the word is found over 150 times in the Bible? 33 of those times, God commands us to be thankful. In fact, do you know Thanksgiving? It's a wonderful time. I remember growing up as a kid, and I remember Thanksgiving. I remember that, of course, my dad was off work. That was always a special day. Growing up in Knoxville, Tennessee, Thanksgiving was the time to go outside and play and goof off. And we ate a bunch and spent time with family. But Thanksgiving is more than just family. It is more than just what we get to do as a family together. But it is a reminder that God has called all of us to live lives of gratitude before Him. Folks, have you ever thought about the fact that your victory is always connected to your gratitude? Now, this morning, why are you and me not grateful like we should be? I think every one of us maybe would admit today, Pastor, I'm not as thankful as I should be. I think we would agree with that today. But here are the reasons that I find in the Bible that we are not grateful. Number one, and let me kind of put it to you this way. Gratitude, number one, is the result of being controlled by the Spirit. Therefore, can I say this to you? One of the reasons why you and I are not grateful is because we are not Spirit-filled, Spirit-controlled Christians. Now, let's take our Bibles and go to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And I want you to see something that I think is very important. Now, please understand today, I know that I'm preaching to a Sunday morning crowd. I pray that everyone here knows Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you do not, can I tell you this? You are not a part of the family of God. In fact, the Bible says that the Spirit of God does not dwell within you. And I would beg of you and encourage you to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. It not only settles our eternal destiny and gives us a home in heaven, but the moment, the very moment of faith in Christ, can I tell you, there are many things that happen, but one of the things that happens is that the Holy Spirit of God comes to indwell the believer. Amen. Folks, the Bible tells us that if you are a child of God, that the Holy Spirit has taken resident in your life. I mean, it's a wonderful promise in God's Word that the Spirit of God dwells within every child of God. Now, please hear me out. That is not for you to flaunt yourself, all right? The Spirit of God is there to glorify God the Father. The Spirit of God is not so that you can do great things and people will think great of you. That's not the purpose of the Spirit of God. But He indwells every child of God. The Spirit of truth, it is the Comforter that indwells us. This is a great promise. But let me tell you something. Just because you're a Christian and just because the Spirit of God indwells you does not mean that the Spirit of God has control of your life. There are many Christians that, yes, they live with the Spirit of God indwelling them, but the Spirit of God is grieved within them and the Spirit of God is often quenched. That's what the Bible says that we as God's people can do to the Spirit of God. We can grieve Him and we can quench Him. Now, that doesn't mean we lose the Spirit of God, but it means that we can stop His influence at work in our life. For instance, I want to give this foundation here. I remember when I became a Christian and I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. The Holy Spirit came to indwell me. And guess what? Things were different after that. That meant that when I sinned, can I tell you something? There was conviction about my sin because the Spirit of God indwelled me. I'll never forget the very first time after I came to know Christ as my Savior that I told a lie after I'd been saved. Do you know that Christians even tell lies? And I remember when I told a lie and I knew. Now, by the way, it was one of those partial lies, all right? You know, we give a little truth and a little lie. But it was a total lie. And I remember the moment that I spoke that lie, the Spirit of truth indwelt me. And can I tell you something? I had grieved God, the Holy Spirit. And I knew it, and I remember confessing it and getting it right with the Lord and getting it right with the one that I had lied to, because now the Spirit of God lives within me. Well, there are Christians here today. You are either living with a grieved Holy Spirit, or you are living with the Holy Spirit who is in control of your life, leading you, guiding you, teaching you His Word. That's how God wants us to live. Look in Ephesians chapter 5. Now let's look at some verses here. Ephesians chapter 5, we begin in verse number 18. The Bible says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." The word there means to be controlled by the Spirit. Now notice what it does. "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." Now, let me explain to you. The book of Ephesians, Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus. And he gives the command, be filled with the Spirit. Now, what is that saying? He's saying, Paul is saying, let the Spirit of God control you and guide you and take not just resident in your life, but to be the president of your life. That means that we yield our bodies, we yield our hearts, our minds. We are not going to do anything or say anything or be a part of anything that will grieve the Holy Spirit. So Paul says, be filled with the Spirit. But then he gives four words after that that end in ing. All right? Now, by the way, those are participles. My wife's going to be real proud of me today, all right? You know, she's an English major and all of that. So can I tell you what participles are there for? They are there to describe the command. The command is to be filled with the Spirit. But then what does the Bible say? We are to, as it goes on, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart. Can I tell you what that's describing? Joy. Can I tell you something? An evidence that you are a Spirit-filled Christian is there will be joy in your life. Now, happiness and joy are totally different. I am happy, like yesterday. Yesterday, I had to go to the hospital. I had to go to Kettering and I had to go to Beaver Creek. But can I tell you something? There is something that God has ordained. There are two places on the way to both of those hospitals. There are two Chick-fil-A's. Praise God. I know exactly where they're at. And, you know, as soon as I got in the car, I got to go to these places. And then I got hungry all of a sudden, you know. I just knew. And my car, I think I could have taken my hands off the steering wheel. It would have pulled into Chick-fil-A, no problem, all right? Well, let me tell you something. You know, the truth of the matter is, as we think about certain things like that, that brings happiness to me, all right? I'm happy to eat Chick-fil-A. I mean, I'm happy about it. But that does not give me joy. Joy is something that is supernatural. It is something that only God can put in your heart as you are surrendered to the Spirit of God. What does it say? Speaking to yourselves. By the way, we all speak to ourselves. Did you know that? But so very often what we are speaking to ourselves is not psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. It is bitterness. It is often hurt, and it is anger and resentment and complaining. We're not Spirit-filled. And then it goes on to say, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That is joy. Let's read on. Giving thanks. We know what that is. That's thanksgiving. Giving thanks always for all things. Not some things, but all things. How is that possible? It's supernatural. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. You know what that submission is? Listen, for a Christian who is not Spirit-filled, they are going to be difficult to other people. They are going to be proud. They are going to give people a hard time. Can I tell you why? Because they are not a Spirit-filled Christian. But these words describe a man or a woman who is controlled by the Holy Spirit. Folks, can I tell you something? Gratitude is the outflow of being a Spirit-filled and a Spirit-controlled Christian. So here's the emphasis. If you are not grateful, it's because you are not Spirit-filled. You are not controlled by the Holy Spirit. By the way, do you know that we live in a world today where you can find a reason almost every moment of every day to find something to grumble and complain about? Do we not live in a world like that? We're mad at the politicians. Man, we're upset about that. We're mad at the gas attendant, and we're mad at the fast food person, and we're mad about this, and we're mad about our spouse, and we're upset about the kids, and we're upset about the weather, and we're upset about whatever it may be. We grumble, we complain, but that is not true for a Spirit-filled, Spirit-controlled Christian. Because one of the first reasons gratitude is the result of being controlled by the Holy Spirit. Because thanksgiving is something that's empowered by God. You may think this morning, you know what, preacher, you're right. I need to work to be more thankful. I'm sorry, but it won't happen unless you are filled with the Holy Spirit. In fact, William Law, who was a preacher, hundreds of years ago, said this. Would you like to know who is the greatest saint in the world? It isn't he who prays most or fasts most. It isn't he who gives most. But it is he who always is thankful to God, who receives everything as an instrument of God's goodness and has a heart always ready to praise God for his benefits. The greatest saint is the one who is always thankful. Now, by the way, going back to those first few verses that we read, do you know what is natural? It is natural for us to live defeated, self-pitying, grumbling lives. That's what's natural. But if you want to have victory over the trials, over the circumstances of life, if you want to have victory over your fears and over the things that plague us, then it comes with gratitude. Because thanksgiving, the result is that we are a Spirit-filled Christian, and the result of that is thanksgiving to God. Oh, may God help us all that we desire not to be the ones controlling. By the way, you know what? Some Christians, they are controlling their lives. They want to be in constant control. They control their emotions. They control their words. They control their thoughts, their actions. But when you are a Spirit-filled Christian, you will say things that will honor Christ. You will be kind. You will be gracious. You will be a different person because the Spirit of God is working in and through you. So here's the first thing. Gratitude is the result of being a Spirit-controlled Christian. Number two, gratitude is the result of our love for the Bible. Let's go now to the book of Colossians. You're there in Ephesians. Turn over just a few pages. Let's go to Colossians chapter number 1. And I want you to see something that I think is so important. Now, you remember what we just read. All right, speaking to yourselves and psalms and hymns and singing, making melody in our hearts to the Lord, giving thanks to God for all things, submitting ourselves. So that's a Spirit-filled Christian. We are to be Spirit-filled. But look what Paul said in the book of Colossians, chapter 1. Let's begin in verse number 9. He says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God." Look at this. "Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father who hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." Notice that sounds very familiar to Ephesians chapter 5 because it's the same. When we are Spirit-filled, can I tell you what happens? We will be grateful. Let's go now to Colossians chapter 3. And I want you to notice that gratitude is the result of our love for the Bible. Now, I want to ask you something today. Do you love God's Word? You say, well, of course I do. But let me tell you this. If you do not get in God's Word on a daily basis, if you are not studying the Scriptures and consumed with the Word of God, then I'm sorry, do not tell me that you love the Bible. You know something, I love sports. I love to play sports and I love to watch sports. And you can tell when someone loves sports. They wear the shirts or whatever it may be of a sport team. I tell you, yesterday I made a visit, and I'm not going to tell you who it is, all right? But I made a visit to a young couple in our home, in their home, and I came and made the visit. There was two problems when I came to the house. I'm going to tell you what these two problems were, all right? I walked in the door. The first thing I seen was the man came to the door with a Michigan sweatshirt on, all right? That was a problem, all right? And we're going to deal with that. I'm joking, all right? The second problem was there was two little kittens running around everywhere, all right? That was the second problem in that home. Now, you pray for this family, all right? But I'm just kidding, all right? But you know something? Let's just be honest. Someone who loves a certain sports team, they're going to wear it proudly. I mean, they watch the games. They talk about it. It's part of them. There's nothing wrong with that. But let me tell you this. You and I do not love the Bible if we are not talking about the Bible. Because what you love will come out. It's full in your heart. You are going to talk about it. It's something within you. This past Friday, we had a great Bible club at the Mechanicsburg Middle School, and God did a work, and I'm so thankful for what He does there. And over 70-something young people, I mean, we average that every single Friday. A couple of weeks ago, we had 5 that trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. It's just a miracle what God has done. But you ask me, if you say, how's the Bible club going? Buddy, I'm going to tell you, all right? Let me tell you. Because it's in my heart. It is something that I love. And ask me about my wife. I love her. I will talk about her. I'll talk about how wonderful and blessed I am to be married to her. Talk about my children. I love them. Talk about my church. I love the church. Folks, we don't really love the Bible unless it's in our heart and it comes forth out on our lips. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. What you love, you talk about. What you love, you invest in. Are you invested in the Bible? Colossians chapter 3, let's begin in verse number 15. Notice what the Bible says. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. There it is. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. There it is again. The Bible, it is connected to our thanksgiving. But the Bible tells us, let the word of Christ dwell in you. Now that word dwell is very important. The word dwell means to set up house. By the way, have you ever stayed in a hotel? How many's ever stayed in a hotel? Would you lift your hand and hold up high? That's many of us here. You know what? When you go check into a hotel, do you know what you don't do? You don't come in there and say, boy, this place needs to be painted. Honey, go get some paint. We're going to paint this hotel room. You don't do that. You don't say, well, I'll tell you, this furniture in here, man, it needs some updating. Honey, let's go to the store. Let's buy some new furniture and let's update this. This bed's way too hard. We need to go buy a new bed. No, you're just passing through. You're not going to stay there. It doesn't belong to you. But if you dwell in a house, you know what you do? You buy your house. I remember my wife and I bought our first home. I remember saying to my dad, we're not going to have to do anything to this house. You know what I did for the next 7 years? Work on the house, all right? You understand it. But you know what we did? We dwelled in that house. Man, I fixed whatever I wanted to. If I wanted to put a hole in the wall, I put a hole in the wall. It was mine, all right? If I wanted to change something or paint something or put new furniture, we did it. We dwelled there. That was us. But folks, Let the word of Christ dwell in you. Not just that it's passing through on Sunday. Not just that you read a couple of verses through the week. But it is in your heart. And if God's word is in your heart, gratitude will be a part of your life. In fact, there was a great British preacher years ago. And I want you to listen to this because it's important. A great British preacher, regarding the fullness of God's command to be thankful, he said this: the surest sign that you're carrying a full bucket of water is wet feet. Now, I want you to listen to that just for a moment. You know something? Have you ever tried to carry a bucket? I brought a bucket with me. Thank the Lord it doesn't have water in it, all right? But let's just say just for a moment that I filled this bucket with water, and I'm talking to the brim. And then I'm going to carry this around all day. Can I tell you what I'm going to do? I'm going to spill it everywhere. You know? In fact, if you put just a little water in, I'll probably spill it, all right? You know how it goes. You know what? If you were to carry this around all day full of water, guess what? It's going to splash. It's going to make your feet wet. It's going to make the floor wet. You're probably going to spill it on somebody else. It is going to happen. But here's the question. Some Christians, their life is so very empty. There is nothing that overflows. You know what gratitude and thanksgiving is? It's the overflow of your life. It just comes out. By the way, you know what people are like. Some people are grumpy. Some people murmur. Some people complain. You bump into them and guess what comes out? Grumbling and murmuring and a grouchy spirit. Can I say this to you? I do not want one day to be a grumpy old man. But can I say this? I don't want to be a grumpy middle-aged man. Like, I don't want to be a grumpy young man, all right? Let me put it that way, all right? I don't want to live that way. But why do people get that way in their later years? It's because throughout their life, they were living like that. And what is within your heart eventually spills out. But here's the emphasis. If your life is full, you're being controlled by the Spirit of God. Your life is full of the Word of God. And boy, you're getting great amounts of God's Word in your heart. And you're let the Word of Christ dwell in you. You're carrying that around. And can I tell you something? Someone kind of bumps into you. And not grumbling or a grouchy spirit overflows. It's gratitude. It is thanksgiving to God. By the way, I'm going to tell you something. The best Christians that I've ever known in my life, can I tell you what was always evident in their life? It was a thankful spirit. They were so gracious. It just came out of them. It didn't matter what was going on. It was the overflow of their life. Folks, this morning, when the bucket of our lives is filled with the Spirit of God, controlled by the Spirit of God, and by the Word of God, the water of thanksgiving just comes out. It just comes out. So, folks, can I tell you, gratitude is the result of being controlled by the Spirit. But number two, gratitude is the result of loving the Word of God. Number three, gratitude is the result of our prayer life. You're there in Colossians. Turn back just a little bit to Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4. Now I want you to see something that I think is very important. God talks about our prayer life. And by the way, your prayer life is an indication of your Christian life. Let me put it to you this way. Your Christian life is your prayer life. And if there is no praying going on, then your life is really, as a Christian, it's pretty much empty. There's nothing coming out. There's no overflow of it. There's no overflow. You know, how many has ever maybe had something that happened to you through the day, something kind and gracious, maybe very thoughtful that was done to you or for you, and boy, that just, you talked about it to everybody. You ever had something like that happen? Absolutely. Your heart was full of that. It was kind of the overflow. We have a Christian school here, and I'm thankful for the Christian school, but sometimes I'll get little notes from kids, you know? And I'll not forget recently, and the little kids in some classes, they wrote me notes, thank you notes, you know? And it's very cute what they say and what they emphasize in that. And I've had kids write things, "You are the funniest man I know." I mean, I guess that's who I am, all right, you know? And thank you for Chick-fil-A every Thursday. You know, in our school, we have Chick-fil-A every Thursday. I mean, we got this thing worked out, all right? And I tried to get them to build a Chick-fil-A right here. We do. You can give them property, you know? But anyway, all right? But, you know, little kids, man, I'll tell you something. Man, those things go with me. It's kind of the overflow. It's within my heart. But folks, our prayer life is really an indication of our gratitude to God. Is your prayer life filled with thanksgiving to the Lord? Or is your prayer life just filled with request? Look in Philippians chapter 4 and notice what the Bible says in verse number 6. It says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Now, I want you to notice something. You might think that this verse says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving." But it doesn't say "and," it says "with thanksgiving." The Bible is very specific that our prayer, no matter what kind of prayer, if it's supplication, if it's intercession, whatever it may be, it is to be bathed with thanksgiving. Do you understand something? Folks, we're not really spending time with God in prayer if we don't have a grateful heart, because the result, gratitude is the result of our prayer life. I'll never forget a Thanksgiving back after I'd come to know the Lord as my Savior. I remember that morning. It was Thanksgiving morning. My dad and I were going to go out hunting later on that day. You say, "What you hunt?" Anything that moved in the woods, all right? You say, "You have a license for that?" We won't talk about that, all right? But anyway, all right? That's redneck style, you know, in Tennessee. I'm kidding, all right? But my dad and I would go out hunting for squirrel. And I mean, literally, if anything moved, we'd never, in all the years that we went hunting, I don't think we ever killed anything, you know? Because it wasn't really about the hunting. It was about being with my dad. We'd always stop by Weigel's and get some chocolate milk and Krispy Kreme donuts. Brother, that's heaven right there, all right, you know? And boy, we'd get that and we'd go. But let me tell you something. I'll never forget that morning. I remember I was in the Word of God. And I began to read the Bible. Boy, the Spirit of God began to deal with me. And there was so much gratitude for what God had done for me, and that He had saved my soul. I remember just stopping and getting on my knees and just praising God and thanking Him. And I left my room with an aroma of thanksgiving. I mean, it was just permeated my life for God and what He had done for me and the thanksgiving. Folks, can I tell you this morning? However we pray, it is to be undergirded with the spirit of thanksgiving, with the spirit of gratitude unto God. Don't ever leave thanksgiving out of your prayer, because it's not real prayer. Because the Bible says, "Be careful for nothing." That means to be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. But I wonder how many times you and I have prayed. All we've done is ask God for things, but we have never had that spirit of thanksgiving unto the Lord. Number four, the last thing this morning. Why? What are the reasons that we are not grateful? Well, gratitude is the result of being controlled by the Spirit. Gratitude is the result of really being consumed by the Word of God. Thirdly, gratitude is the result of our communion, our prayer life. But number four, gratitude is the result of yielding to God's plan. Now, I want you to go in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. Now, if you're in Colossians, go to the right just a few more pages and you'll come to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. I'm sorry, verse number 16. All right, we'll start there and then we'll read down. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, let's begin at verse 16. Now, folks, did you know that it is God's will for each and every one of us to be thankful? That is God's will. I can tell you a part of God's will for your life this morning is to live a life of gratitude. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, rejoice evermore. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. And look in verse 18, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And then look at the next verse, verse 19. Quench not the Spirit. Folks, I want you to listen to me very closely. Paul wrote all of the books that we have read today. But we could almost call Paul the praising prophet or the praising disciple. Paul was a man who praised God. And you say, well, yeah, that's easy for Paul, preacher, because, I mean, he may have lived in some palace. No. Can I remind you that the Apostle Paul, we don't turn there, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he's known as the grateful apostle. But can I tell you that he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he talked about the many prison sentences that he had. He talked about that he was stoned once and left for dead. He talked about that he was beaten with 39 stripes three times by the Jewish people. He was beaten with rods three times. He was shipwrecked three times. In fact, he spent 24 hours in the open sea. He knew exhaustion. He knew pain. He knew hunger. He knew thirst. He knew what it was like to go without food. He knew what it was like to be cold and have a lack of clothing. Paul's life was not easy. And yet Paul said, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I'll tell you why some of us are not thankful. It's because we feel entitled to certain things. In fact, is that not the generation that we're living in? People feel entitled. They feel entitled. I deserve that. But folks, today, if you understand anything about the gospel and anything about God's love for you and me, we are undeserving today. Listen, all I deserve is to die and spend eternity in a place called hell forever. I deserve nothing else other than that. But brethren, why are we not thankful? Part of the reason is because we do not count everything as God's will. Here's the emphasis. Folks, the reason or for gratitude should be this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We surrender to what God has brought into our life. You know why some Christians are not thankful? Because they're mad at God. They blame God for the circumstances in life. And God's not been as good to me as He should have been. But where does that spirit come from? But when you recognize that the trials, the hardships, the sufferings in life, in everything give thanks. It didn't say in some things. It said in everything. For this. What's that? Whatever it is in your life. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. God's not made a mistake. God knows what He is doing. And we can give thanks because He is on the throne. He is working in our lives. And He's promised to work all things together for our good. In fact, let's take our Bibles and go to Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter 1 in closing this morning. Let's go to this last passage, and I want you to see something. Romans chapter number 1. Now, when we come to Romans chapter 1, and I'm going to be honest with you, Romans chapter 1 is really a hard chapter to read. And I want you to notice some things in Romans chapter number 1 that talks about what this world will become like. A world that has detached from God. In fact, can you remember this? A civilization that is coming unglued is becoming unglued because they are unthankful to their Creator. Now, what has happened in our country today? Is there gratitude? In fact, when you hear someone say thank you, you're like, whoa, what is that? You know? When you hear someone say thank you, I appreciate that. What a blessing. It's almost unknown and unheard of Because that's not our country. That's not our civilization we live in. In fact, Romans chapter 1, it says this, verse 21. Romans 1, verse 21, it says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were, what's the next word? Thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. And their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. What does the Bible say? Paul says, Paul is telling the Romans, he says, let me tell you what happens to a culture that rejects God. He said they will head down, down, and down. And one of the evidences of their rejection and the rebellion against God is an unthankful heart. You see, folks, stop for a moment and consider where we are at in our own hearts and how often we have to be encouraged to be grateful. We have to be reminded to be grateful. Because why are we not grateful? Because we're not spirit-controlled Christians. We are not filled with the Word of God. We are not living in constant prayer unto the Lord. And we are not believing that what God has brought into our life is a part of His plan. Folks, trust God's plan for your life. Believe His plan for your life. You see, the emphasis today is, folks, and someone wrote this, and I want to read this to you. When we are filled with the spirit of thanksgiving, we learn how to count our blessings instead of our crosses. We learn how to count our gains instead of our losses. We learn how to count our joys instead of our woes. We learn how to count our friends instead of our foes. We learn how to count our smiles instead of our tears, and our courage instead of our fears, and our full years instead of our lean ones, and our kind deeds instead of our mean ones, and our health instead of our wealth. We count on God instead of ourself. Brethren, today, I can't make you have a grateful heart. I can't do it. I can't say, all right, come on now, be thankful. Listen, that's not real gratitude if you're made to be thankful. But I'm going to tell you this. If you're a child of God this morning and you recognize what God has really done for your life, then I'm going to tell you something. When you yield your life to the Spirit of God and you say, Lord, take control of me. Do whatever you want to in my life. Lord, I'm not going to resist you. I'm going to yield and I'm going to obey you. When you do that, you'll be controlled by the Spirit of God. And I'm going to tell you something. You'll say things that are honoring to Christ. You'll be a blessing. You'll be an encouragement. And gratitude will come out of your life. Nobody will have to force you to do it. But secondly, if you're a child of God today and God's word is getting in your heart, you will not be able to help it. The overflow of your life will be gratitude. The overflow of your life. When you get that bucket full, when you get it full, you can't help but spill it out. Oh, we need Christians that are spilling out their joy and their thanksgiving unto God. But it is often because we are not full of His Word. And when our prayer life is what it needs to be, we are giving gratitude to God. I am convicted that there's many times I've prayed and I've done nothing but grumble and complain and request things when I did not praise Him, when I did not thank Him. By the way, you know a good way to start your prayer life is to start it by praising the Lord. It'll get your eyes off yourself and get your eyes on Jesus. Praise Him for who He is, His holiness, His righteousness, His love, His mercy, and meditate on it. When you do that, thanksgiving will come. And then fourthly, I don't know what you're dealing with today. It might be cancer. It might be a wayward child. It might be a wayward spouse. It might be things that are beyond comprehension. But you can give thanks in everything. God doesn't say we give thanks for what is happening to us, but our thanksgiving is to God because He's on the throne. He knows what's going on, and He is working all things. He is never the author of sin, but He is in total control, and He is working things together for our good. Today, I don't know about you, but I want to be a grateful Christian. And I believe we can find in God's Word the reasons that we are not grateful. Let's bow our heads in prayer this morning. Our Father in heaven, we thank You. Lord, we could stop right there and spend the rest of the day in thanksgiving unto Thee. Lord, we thank You for Your grace, Your mercy, Your goodness in our lives. Lord, would You help us today? Would You guide us today in this service? Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. If you're coming to get baptized today, you can go ahead and make your way and find the place, and we'll be there to assist you in just a moment. But how many today would say, "Preacher, I'm going to be honest with you. God has spoken to my heart. And I recognize today the reasons that I am not grateful. And God has dealt with me in this service." You say, "Would you pray for me? Would you lift your hand? Pastor, that's me. Pray for me this morning. I see the reasons I'm not grateful. And my hand is raised as well." Oh, may the Lord help us to confess our ingratitude, because, brethren, ingratitude is sin. A lack of thanksgiving is sin. But let us surrender ourselves to the Holy Spirit who indwells us as God's people. Let us get full of His Word, and let us spend time in thanksgiving and prayer. And then let us accept what God has brought into our life. And I'm telling you something, when you do that, the result, the overflow, will be thanksgiving. Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. And I want us to obey the Lord this morning. And if God has spoken to you, just a moment, I'm going to ask you to come. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for Your precious Word. And Lord, I'm convicted today, even as I preach this, about my own life. God, forgive me and forgive us of our lack of gratitude, our lack of thanksgiving. May the overflow, may the spilling out of our lives be lives of thanksgiving and gratitude. God, forgive us of where we've complained and murmured. And Lord, may we live with a thankful spirit. God, deal with our hearts today. May people come and respond to You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take our hymnals, if you would, please, and we'll go to hymn number 217, "Thank You, Lord." If God has dealt with you, find a place to pray. Listen, let's begin this Thanksgiving season right, and let the Lord have His way. Hymn number 217, as Brother Stevenson leads us, "God has spoken to your heart. Would you find a place to come and pray?"
Something
thank You, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the day that you've given us, and we thank you for what you've done. And I pray that our hearts would be full of gratitude, not just this week, but all of our life. And Lord, I pray that we would point others to the gratitude that we have of what Jesus has done. Lord, we think of Lincoln. We thank you for him. I pray that you would bless him as he's in the military and that you would keep him safe. Lord, I pray that you'd be with us on the road, give us safety, and bring us back tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.